I try not to serve anything that I don't eat. And just as the word comes through me, the word has to feed me in order for me to feed you. And so I treasure the times of worship, and I treasure the times of his word even over his work. Because without his worship and his word, I can't do his work. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this heavenly hour at Tabernacle, in property and Tabernacle in person. I thank you, Lord, that we are able, Lord, to transcend wall. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to worship you in spirit and in truth, for we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, now bring us together wherever we are. Connect us to that Spirit, Lord, for we need you beside no other. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray and say amen. Very quickly today, we're just going to go directly into the Word. Today marks 2 days before the great holy day of our church and of our tradition, the day of Pentecost. 14 more days. We'll be celebrating that in a high and holy fashion here at Tabernacle Church, 380 South Broadway, Dayton, Ohio, where we will come and have prayer, preaching, and praise. And then we were going to move into a serious time where we're going to celebrate the graduates of 2020 in the city and around the city. Come and be part of what we're doing. We're calling it a drive-in graduation. We are working very hard. We believe in a spirit of excellence, five-star church, and we want you to be part of this in whatever way the Lord leads you. Now, let's go directly into the word. For our word today, we are in the book of Psalms. We're in the hymnody and the hymnology of Israel. We're in the anthems of hope. We are in, amen, the musicology of our tradition. In particular, we are in Psalm 91, Psalm 91. We are going to make a detour to the New Testament, amen, to the book of Hebrews, but our focal scripture is Psalm 91, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that can, please stand wherever you are. We ask that you pause for the reading of God's word, amen. Many of you know this scripture. You learned this scripture in Sunday school, in Bible training school, amen. You learn it in Bible study. You learn it in prayer meeting, and you know it by heart. But we're just going to lift up the first four verses of Psalm 91, amen. And let us read together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You sound good, church? I will say of the Lord, refuge and my fortress, in God in whom I trust. Let's do that one more time. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 3, surely. Deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Amen. And then Hebrews 11, 3 through 4, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away without experiencing death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he won approval as one who pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently search for him. Amen. Very quickly in Psalm 91, I just want to speak for a few minutes this morning. I want to preach from the subject kept. We're going to hang around with the classic rendering of Psalm 91, 1 and 2. The classic rendering from the King James Version. We're going to be working with different versions today, church. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. She who dwells, church, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the shelter of the Almighty. He, she, who dwells, it's not for visitors, it's not for drive-by, it's not for temporary shoppers. He who dwells, Sister Mary, he who invests, let me borrow a leaf from the church, he who tabernacles, he who is rooted in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall flourish under the shadow of the Almighty. Holy Spirit, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. Beloved, I want to say to you today that in this season, you must be kept. I don't care your sector of life, your walk of life. I don't care your hobbies. I don't care your competency or skill set. If you are living wherever you are in May 2020, you are looking to be kept. I don't care if you're a frontline worker. I don't care if you're a healthcare worker. I don't care if your state has gone back to work. I don't care if your municipality is still in one of the phases of reopening. I don't care if you're under shelter, amen, or under shadow, under protocol. I'm here to tell you, you need to be kept. You want to be kept. I don't care if you're a single parent. I don't care if you're a grandparent or a step-parent. I don't care if you got a lot of money in your bank account or you ain't got no money in your bank account. I don't care if your money is holy or if your money is funny. I'm trying to tell you today that you are looking to be kept. You're looking to be kept because the only reason you would turn in and watch a bald-headed preacher from Nigeria whose name you can't pronounce is because there are still some things in life you are looking for God to complete. That the only reason why you're tuning in is because you need God to complete some things. You need God to extend some things. You need God to fulfill, satisfy some things in your life that you're looking, that you know that only God can satisfy. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Amen. But it says a lot about God if God can call me to preach to you and you believe God. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. Because I'm not somebody that God would call. But if God can call me, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. I believe God can use anybody. Y'all need to have that testimony right now too. If God can call you, God can call anybody. And so I surrender all to God. I believe God because God has done some things in my life. God has done so many things in my life that if it wasn't for the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, oh, help me, Jesus. And so I've come by to tell you that you need to be kept. You need to be kept. And if you're praying right, you're not just asking for God to keep you. You're asking for God to keep your friends. You're asking for God to keep your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're asking for God to keep your children, your grandchildren. You're asking God to keep your home. You're asking God to keep your finances. You need God to keep some stuff. And I've come by to tell you that what you want to do is you want to God to keep you. And when God keeps you, he will give you some disclosures that will allow you to stand in the gaps for other people. Here we go. The Bible says, he who dwells, she who dwells. We're going to understand that in Hebrew, it is gender all inclusive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, y'all, the problem is you got to watch where you're dwelling. It all begins in knowing, amen, you have to know, please hear me, you have to know your the K of it is, you got to know your spiritual privilege. You got to know your spiritual privilege. Now, you got to know it because nobody that has ever lived, I don't care, let's just have a conversation. Many of you love sports, many of you love music. Many of you love science, you love computers, and most of you, in whatever way you're trained, whatever your craft in, they are what we call champions or heroes, heroic personages that have stood the test of time in your tradition. Even me, who's a preacher, I look back and I look at Abraham and Noah, Isaac. I look at Micah and Jeremiah. I love to talk about the reformers and the church fathers, Augustine and Origen, and then you come up to Calvin and Luther. And then when you look at the American tradition, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, Benjamin Elijah Lace, I study the tradition. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But I've come by to tell you that nobody that I admire, that I acknowledge, has made a major contribution in the faith or in any craft. Nobody could do it on their own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That in fact, if they were left to only their native intelligence and their bare competencies, they would never have been able to make a contribution. Now, let me go deeper. Nobody, flesh, please hear me. Flesh, Sister Gigi, cannot get through this life and be successful. Would y'all agree with that? That nobody born of woman, whoever lived, right, is made by way of their birthright to be able to overcome the vestiges of this life. No, that in order for you to be an overcomer, you're going to need a power greater than your birth, greater than your flesh, in order for you to live a life of significance. So anybody who ever lived, you are not made, the flesh was not made to overcome. What happened with Adam is God breathed into his nostril. So the only way you're going to live a life that is above flesh, a life of significance, of worth, of value, is you're going to have a spirit working inside of you, whether you know it or not. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So those of you who God has spoken to, what you don't want to do is navigate life without his spirit. And then I began to pray. I said, Lord, why did you breathe into Adam's nostril? And y'all, you, God is looking for you to have intimacy with him. And so God will bring you into his secret place. God will bring you to a place, Sister Tahira, that where you and him can have fellowship. That's why Deacon Frazier, he said, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And so I said, Lord, why do you breathe in the nostrils? And then I was watching TV and I saw some of the healthcare workers that when they're trying to do a test to see whether or not you have the virus, they don't put the swab in your mouth. They put it in your nostrils because they say in your nostrils they can gain more access to what's bothering you or what's not bothering you by putting the swab through your nasal passage. Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. When God decided to breathe through nostrils of Adam, through your nostrils and mine, God was accessing some parts in Adam, and God is accessing some parts in you and I that regular folk can't get, that regular instruments can't get, that when God wants to speak to our inward parts, God goes through our nostrils. That wasn't enough for me. That wasn't enough for me. I said, Lord, tell me about your secret place. And when I began to study, Sister Jocelyn, I began to understand that the problem that we have with this text is we get hung up on the word secret. Because when you do a Google search on the word secret, the connotations, Sister Ruby, of secret are negative. It sounds like somebody is scheming. Somebody is being deceptive. Somebody is trying to hoodwink you or trick you. So a lot of times when we're reading the scripture in the English, we get caught up in the secret place of the Most High, and secrets sound like Casper the Friendly Ghost. It sounds like somebody trying to spook you. But when you get it in the Hebrew, the secrets of God, Brother Gary, means the mysteries of God. It means the valued, sophisticated knowledge of God. It means the precious secrets of God. It means there's a higher level of knowledge that people that just hang around on the outside of God never get. That this is for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. You ain't gonna tell nobody your deepest truths, your most precious stuff, while somebody who just hang around. You're only gonna tell your deep truths, your valued knowledge. You're only gonna give your precious gift to somebody who is intimate with you. Somebody who trusts you and you trust somebody that you have the bond of peace with. Give God somebody praise. Is there anybody that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I have to stay here for a minute. I have to stay here for a minute because not only is the place a place of intimacy, but guess what? The E of it is this. Watch this. The E of it is you have to expand. Oh, glory. You got to expand your mindset. Now, what do you mean? Some time ago, after I passed through my years of immaturity, I noticed that I and my biological father, Dr. Adetunji Adelakan, started getting closer. Isn't it interesting? That when you come to yourself as the prodigal, amen, you can go to your father's house and you find your father, amen, standing in tiptoe anticipation waiting for you to come. But you got to come to yourself, because when you took your father's riches and ran away, you wanted the riches more than you wanted the relationship. Y'all ain't going to pray with me. You wanted the finances more than you wanted. And he said, go ahead. But thanks be to God, when you get your mindset right, you know how to find your father. It's just amazing, amen, that my father, I don't know about you, but my father, when I was growing up, I used to wonder if my father went to school. Y'all didn't pray with me. Let me talk to some real parents. Deacon Frazier, Deacon Harris, when I was growing up, I used to think that maybe my dad needed some more wisdom. Y'all ain't going to pray with y'all. Kurt, let me not talk. I said, when I was growing up, I thought that maybe my parents, they didn't just get it. And they needed more wisdom. But how many of you, that was before I started having responsibility. That was before I started having children. And how many of you know that now that I've been through some stuff and I got some children of my own, how many of you know that I run to my father and say, Dad, how did you handle this? How did you deal with lack of money? How did you deal with when they got sick? How did you deal? And now I think my father is the smartest man on the face of the earth. Is there anybody here that can give God somebody praise? That when God was telling you some stuff, you didn't want to hear from God. But now that you've been through some stuff, everything you deal with, you want to go to God and say, God, show me, teach me, lead me, guide me along the way, for if you don't lead me, I will be gone astray. So my father, he began to show me some things, and I noticed that he took me into his office and he showed me some images and some pictures, y'all, and he began to show me stuff that he could never show me until I got ready. But a couple of things happened. I noticed when I went into his secret place that his voice dropped. When I went into his secret place, he was focused on me and I was focused on him. I noticed that when I went into my father's secret place, that he was planning, had plans for me that I didn't even know he had plans for me. Y'all ain't praying with me. When you go into your father's secret place, he is not going to be loud. He's going to speak in a still, small voice. When you go into your father's secret place, you can't come in there any old way. You got to be focused on him, and he will be focused on you. When you come into his secret place, he will give you some truths and some knowledge and some wisdom and some counsel about your future that you not even thought about yourself. Because he will tell you, this is the way, walk in it. So I've come by to tell you, if you're going to be kept, you're going to have to get ready to listen to God in places that you're not used to listening to God at. I've come by to tell you right now that many of us are missing the secrets of God, the mysteries of God, what's in the safe house of God. Let me put it to you this way. When you study medieval castles, amen, there's a moat, and then they have the wall, and then they have different rooms. But those that know the castle always know the secret passages that carry some knowledge, and you can go through some tunnels in that place. And I've come by to tell you that when you understand how God works, that God will show you some secret passageways. He will show you some secret truths. He will show you some access to your friend, to right friends, to some finance, to your future, to your destiny, that unless you hang out with him in his secret place, you will not be able to pull down and download the knowledge of God. I've come by to tell you that the best gift you can give to yourself this season, this Pentecost, is hang out in God's secret place. Many of us are wasting and perishing on the vine because, help me, Jesus, we have not had an encounter with God. What are you talking about, Tukumbo? Most of us, the last time we had an encounter with God was years ago. We think that being born again is all there is. But I've come by to remind you that you must have encounters with God every season, because his mercies are new and fresh every morning. That the reason why we are perishing
that the reason why we are succumbing to adversity, the reasons why we want to quit, the reason why doubt gets us and fear and affliction and pain and suffering and shame and sorrow and bereavement and grief, the reasons why we feel like there is no God, like God won't help us, is because we've not talked to him recently. We've not encountered him recently. We've not allowed him to show up in our lives and turn our lives upside down and inside out. For those that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Don't you know the just shall live by faith? You got to know him. I got to stay here right here. I got to stay right here. Beloved, this season, know that God will not waste this crisis. Please hear me today. God will not waste this crisis. And if you abide in his shadow, you too will not waste this crisis. Every crisis known to man has been an opportunity for God to show himself. For God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That means more trouble, more help. More trouble, more hope. More trouble, more God. Give God some mighty praise and get ready to see more of God. This situation will try to kill you. It'll make you doubt God. It'll make you run from church. And I've come by to tell you right now that this season is for you to deconstruct and demystify and deprivilege anything that competes with God for your attention. When I'm asking you to go to God's secret place, Brother Ted, please hear me. His traditions won't work. Whoo! Church tradition won't work. Listen to me. The hymnal won't work. The candle won't work. The songs of God won't work. The canticles of God won't work. The church of God, listen to me, won't work. You are going to have to give up everything you think you know and meet not the songs of God, not the traditions of God, not the routines of God. You're going to have to meet God himself. For he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Whew. I lift up my eyes to the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Let me tamper with the tradition. Once you get to a certain level of the secret place, not even God's word is going to be enough for you. You're going to need his presence. Hear me good. Camera, I'm looking directly at you. A lot of times, church mistakes God's word for God. His word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin. But God's word is not God. Because a lot of times when we manipulate God's word, we manipulate it in our favor and against folk that we don't like and don't look like us or talk like us or worship like us. So we use God's word to beat people over the head and not use it to release people from sin. I heard a preacher say, my friend, Brother Dewey, down in Atlanta, he said it's very hard to inspire people and insult them at the same time. You can evangelize and antagonize at the same time. You can pray for people and pray on them. So I've come by to tell you, if the word of God, your way of using the word, is getting in your way of God, let it go and let the Holy Spirit enter your heart and interpret the word and break the word and divide the word so you can live a life of deliverance and resurrection in God. Put down your nasty. When you pray to God, you don't pray to the Bible. You pray, using the Bible to God. And when you have a relationship with God, he will tell you how to work with the Bible. He will tell you where to go. In fact, the way he'll put it is, he'll tell you, you'll hear a voice. This is the way. Walk. This is the way. Walk in it. Because, beloved, there's a difference between God's word and God's voice. Please hear me. You need God's word to hear his voice. But there are times in your life where you don't have a word, but you're still going to have to hear his voice. Have you ever been in a situation where you could not access God's word, but God was still speaking to you? Have you ever been asleep and you hear the voice of God saying, wake up right now? Have you ever been in a place and you wanted to say something and the Lord said, shut up? Have you ever been somewhere and the Lord said, leave right now? God's voice will speak to you in the secret and inward parts when you don't know what to say. And so I've come by to tell you is lift his word, study his word, read his word, memorize his word. But always understand you got to hear the voice of the Spirit saying, walk with me, talk with me, expand your mind. Finally, as I move to my close, I want you to know your privileges. I want you to expand your mind. But I also want you to procure, to secure your power. Hear me good. In the secret place of God, there are manifold blessings. And now that you're in a secret place, he wants you to flourish. But if you're called by God, you cannot flourish any old way. You're going to have to flourish in his shadow. What is God's shadow? God's shadow is anything that chases God. I want you to flourish in what chases God. Martin Luther King Jr.
The great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
He got to a point in his life where the affliction, the storms, the hatred, the betrayal, the abandonment, the discrimination was overwhelming him. He was drowning in a sea of sorrow. Dr. King of I Have a Dream had his moments of doubt and dereliction. One day, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he was in bed with his wife, children were sleeping, and someone came by and threw a Molotov cocktail into him. Terrified. He had received threats before. People had threatened him before and had attacked him before, but this time they had invaded his home. Dr. King got up and went to his kitchen. And he told God, basically, I don't want this anymore. Take this bitter cup from me, so to speak. The pressure is too much. The affliction is too much. The attacks are too many. My family is vulnerable. I don't know where to go. And right at that hour, he heard the voice saying, Martin, I will be with you. Here it is, beloved. God oftentimes is waiting for us to break down totally before he moves into the place of our crumbling walls. That God loves a crushed spirit. God loves a humble heart. God, no matter how much God has used us in the past, I've come by to ask you, can you go to God and say, withholding nothing? Can you go to him and say, God, unless you step in? I know you're talented. I know you're competent. I know you got some stuff. But God is looking for those that will seek him. God is looking for those that will chase after him. God is looking for those that have opened the door wide open and say, nothing I have belongs to me. God, I need you to speak to me. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Oh, when I read that story about Dr. King, I realized that his power was not in his oratory. His power was not as an intellect. His power was not as an organizational ability or his administrative competence. His power came from his relationship with God. And so, beloved, if you're going to be kept, you're going to have to get to the place where you counsel your flesh. And you tell God, though I want it, it's better that I give it to you. Then finally, church, he says, now that he has prayed and he's been in a secret place, now he moves, the psalmist moves, says, surely he will protect you from the pestilence. And whatever pestilence there is right now, I want to share with you, the Lord will keep you. What do you mean that the Lord will keep you? What I mean is, you have to get to the point where every part of you is a way for you to testify about the goodness of God. Notice he says, I will lift up my voice. You're going to have to declare that regardless of what happens to you, you will declare the righteousness of God. This is what he is committed to do, regardless of what happens to him in the future. I want to ask you, can God trust you enough that in the midst of pain, you can still sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I'm tired of asking whether I can trust God. The power of the secret place is for me to ask, can God trust me? Because the more God can trust me, Sister Michelle, the more of his secrets, of his precious jewels, of his valuable gifts he gives to me. So maybe there are some things that God has not given to me because he cannot trust me with that level of prerogative, power, and responsibility. And so right now, I need to know, whatever God has given me, can God trust me? I asked you a question. Can God trust you with the time he's given you? Can God trust you with the days that he's given you? Can God trust you with the thoughts he's given you? Can God trust you with the friends, with the ministry, with the influence? Can God trust you? I was in a seminar the other day, y'all, and we were reading this book. We read this book, and we're still reading this book called The 40-Day Fast. I'm going to close with this. And in The 40-Day Fast, it talks about fasting from negative words, toxic words. And I want to ask a question today. Can you do like the psalmist does, and can you testify of God even when the world is breaking out? Y'all not getting me. When the pestilence is coming and when your enemies come, can you still sing God's praises? No, y'all, I'm still not missing. Let me do another way. When that person walks in the room who you can't stand, can you love them? Can you not I'm not talking about what you fake. I'm talking about, if God x-rays your heart and that person that you can't stand, that gets on your lap nerves, if they call you, if they walk in the room, if your stomach begins to growl, then you've not forgiven them. You've not been fully saved. You've not been healed. You've not been, you're overcome. I've come by to tell you right now that the way you know you've been in the secret place is when somebody who has been nasty, unkind to you, some pestilence of a personality, some nasty noble, somebody has come in and you can still say, Lord, I love them. You don't even have to wave, but you can say it in your heart. Lord, bless bless them, heal them, sanctify them, lift them up. I've come by to tell you that God will judge your heart. And if God looks at your heart and sees an evil way, a wicked way in you, God will withhold your blessings. I've come by to let you know that if you want to draw down from the blessings of God, renew your spirit, clean your heart, change your ways, change your habits, and let God speak to you. Give God some mighty praise. You need to change. But he goes, I'm done. Look here. So we were discussing the book, and one of the participants said, she said, the Lord has touched my mouth. In other words, the things I used to say, I don't say anymore. The things I used to do. But then she said something else. He said, but it's my face he's still working on. Now, Doc, I got a couple of degrees. But that right there, that's the Holy Spirit. Number one, most people don't confess that level. Most people don't feel free enough to say that out loud. And I've come by to tell you that maybe God has healed somebody's tongue, but maybe your eyebrow, your nose, your ear, maybe your shoulders are still unsaved. Maybe your hand needs to be sanctified. Maybe, maybe your body language, maybe your toes, maybe where you hang out, y'all are gonna pray with me. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God saves you one time, but he sanctifies you in steps. That's why you gotta sing, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me. You gotta understand God will heal you in steps, but you gotta give him something to work with. Help me, Jesus. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? You've not been able to testify in a long time because you've not given that thing over to God in a long time. And I've come by to tell you that I want God to use the rest of my life to testify. I want everything I do to reflect God. I want to be a testimony of hope, an instrument of his peace. I remember my first love that when I didn't have any money, I remember how I prayed. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. And sometimes the more stuff you get, the more you don't pray the way you used to. And so I've come by to tell you right now that I've been born again, but I've been born again today. I've been born again afresh. I've been broken afresh. I need to see God afresh. All I want is you. And today, as you get ready for Pentecost, when you get into his secret place, I want you to bear all to God. I want you to pray that you be not conformed to this world. Hear me good. I want you to pray prayers that you've never prayed before. I want you to pray for the other political party. I want you to pray for the other religious tradition. I want you to pray for the people in the other clique. I want you to pray for people that you don't talk to anymore. I want you to ask God. You can't do it in your flesh, but if you allow the Spirit to drive you, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. I want you to pray that people who don't wear masks begin to wear masks. I want you to pray that God give us a vaccine. I want you to pray for healthcare workers and first responders. I want you to pray for people who can't go to work and people who can't leave their home. I want you to pray for people who can go to work and leave their home. I want you to pray for, because we are dealing with a level of pestilence that we don't know when it's going to come from. And the only thing we can do is run to the secret place of God. And so as you hear this message, and as you meditated on it this week, I want you to do an inventory of yourself and ask, what have you not turned over to God? And bring it under his subjection. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. As the choir comes now, we want you to join us in that song, Withholding Nothing. withholding nothing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So therefore, we come to you, God. Come join us, withholding nothing. It belongs to him anyway. He just gave it to you as a steward on loan. You're going to have to give report. Help me, church, wherever you are. Let us sing this song together.